University of Wyoming, and yes, even some CSU news. Go to InsideTheSeams.com. Tracy Ringlesby's got it there for you. Tracy, what's happening? How are you doing?
Hey, wait till July 26th.
Wait till the July. Can you give us a little hint, or we just have to wait?
Welcome to 7220. We'll debut on the 26th of July.
Okay, the day before fall camp starts at Wyoming.
All Wyoming sports.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Anyhow, that's just a tip for you. Just to let you know.
All right. Monty's well aware of it. But, you know, I told Dave what you said before we came on the air about next week. He's happy to oblige, I think.
Good. Jeremiah, carry the show, baby.
I'll do what I can.
Aren't you on vacation next week, too?
I don't take vacation. I work for myself.
No.
It'll be all Chicago Cubs questions next week if Jeremiah's got the mic.
That's okay. I like Joe Madden. Go back with Joe Madden when he played for the Boulder Collegians, and then he was a backup catcher in Salinas.
Really?
Yeah.
And
he actually is the only guy I know that had the clubhouse guy hit ahead of him in the lineup of a game.
Tracy Ringlesby joining us here on the program. So, nice, I guess you'd say a nice bounce back for the Rockies over the weekend to take 2 of 3 from the Dodgers, and really, really good pitching performances from Tyler Anderson and Herman Marquez. But I guess we should start with John Gray and the demotion to AAA for him. Is that just a wake-up call for him, or is that, I mean, should we read any more into it than that?
Got to get his game together. I mean, if you look at his 7 wins, I think his ERA at his 7 wins was under 150. In the other games, it's about 10. And, you know, just like when you talk about a baseball season, a manager says, well, you're going to win 60 games, you're going to lose 60 games. It's what you do in the other 42 that determines your season. Well, starters, if they get their 30 starts, they're going to win 10, they're going to lose 10. It's what you do in the other 10. In the other 10, he could never get himself out of a mess. He'd create a bigger mess. And he's got to learn how to battle his way through those situations. He did a great job of that when he came back for the last 4 months last year, and he was just horrible in that situation this year. And I think the Texas game was probably the tipping point where he gets himself in trouble, and then all of a sudden he throws 2 cookies and he gets pounded. Well, if you get those 2 guys out, you're in the game, you're ahead. Don't quit. Don't give up. And I just think that has to be, they have to figure out a way to get that through to him. I mean, he's a great guy. He works his tail off, but the middle part of the game, he's got to master that on a consistent basis.
Tracy, you think it's mostly mental? I mean, he's got all the tools. I mean, he's got all the pitches, and when he's on, he's terrific. We've seen that where he's, you know, he pitches great, but then he'll just blow sky high as soon as something goes wrong. Is it all mental, or does he?
Yep.
Just lose his, I mean, he can't just lose his pitches like that.
No, that's why I say it's not physical ability. I mean, he grades up. Not only does he have a live arm, he's a strike thrower.
Hold on. How come I got
to so it's not like he's walking everybody and getting himself in trouble and giving up a blue pit.
Sorry, Jay, we had somebody actually come on the line. Sorry about that, Tracy. Are you still there?
I thought it was Dave's wife.
How have players, pitchers with similar talent levels handled a demotion like this to AAA, or how many times can you remember back of a player with similar talent as John Gray being sent down?
I don't think it's that far out of the question. You know, you'll find out. If he doesn't handle it, he wasn't going to handle it up here. And you know, guys go up and down based off how they're performing, and then all of a sudden something will click in their mind. I mean, spring of 72, Nolan Ryan, they went on strike. Nolan was going to quit. Told his wife, I don't think I can ever make it in the big leagues. And she embarrassed him into going back to the Angels. That was his first year in the Angels. She said, like Tom Morgan, go back and give it a year. So, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily uncommon. And you also reach a point where you're so used to being better than everybody else. And that's the important thing. Hal Keller used to be the scouting director in Seattle, was with the Texas Rangers for a long time, too, and he was great on drafting pitchers. But he used to say, I've really got to see a guy fail before I can tell you if he's going to be any good. because you have to know how to deal with failure to go to your next start and pitch well. If you don't know, learn how to deal with failure, then you're always doubting yourself if you have a bad day. And you're going to have bad days. You know, I mean, that's just part of life. You're going to have bad days. And so, you know, this we'll find out. You know, he's been sent back down. He's been given some things to work on. They know at AAA what they want him to work on. Mark Wiley's going to go in and spend some time with him. And then a lot of it is just getting his mindset to a point of being an aggressive pitcher, throwing strikes, and not being intimidated by situations. And not throwing batting practice pitches. Continue to throw your good pitches. Continue to try to just bury the guy. Don't just throw a cookie up there because you're hoping that he'll pop it up instead of hit it out of the ballpark.
When will he pitch it for Albuquerque? Do you know? Do they know that yet?
I would say he probably will pitch tomorrow.
Okay.
I mean, he and Sensatella were on the same schedule. Now they also brought Lambert up from Double A, who's having a great year. So Lambert may pitch tomorrow. They may put him back another day, but it'll be pretty soon. I mean, he's down there to pitch and get his game back in order. And it's at 5280, so they can't say, well, yeah, he's not pitching at altitude.
Tracy Ringlesby joining us here on the program. How big was it for the Rockies to get two starters to go eight innings with Anderson and Marquez on Friday and Saturday?
I think it was huge, but now it's a matter of carrying it over to doing it at home. You know, other than Freeland, you know, Marquez has been dominant on the road this year. In the past 2 years, he was a better pitcher at home than he was on the road, but this year he hasn't gotten anybody out at home. So that he won't in this series. He won't pitch here, so it'll be another 10 or 11 days before he pitches here. But really, for him, he's got to turn around what he does at Coors Field, and he's done it before. It's not like he's never been able to pitch here. He's actually pitched well here for 2 years, so it's a matter of getting him back into a focus and getting this stuff done. But on the road, he's pitched great.
I know you mentioned in one of the articles today talking about on your website, but I was really. Really grated me, okay? Really got under my skin on Saturday on the Fox broadcast when they're talking about, and it just, I guess it just goes back to that. I thought maybe this Coors Field thing had settled down since they got the you know, the humidifier room or whatever, you know. But they're talking about, oh, those balls would have been out of the park if this had been at Coors Field. You know, there seems to still be that, you know, that, prejudice all over the national press that the only reason these guys are good is because they play at Coors Field.
You got a next Dodger. He's got to make excuses for his team. He was whiny when he played. He's going to be whiny as the broadcaster.
Who was that?
Eric Karras.
Oh yeah, Eric Karras.
I don't know. Like Fox, every time the Rockies are on, they have him come out and whine. You know, let him go someplace else.
I mean, Nolan is on a complete tear right now, and he does. It just, I don't have the splits in front of me. I guess I could look him up, but I have a feeling is he hitting more, or is it about 50-50 home and away home runs right now?
I know Desmond is leading the league in road home runs.
Right.
But I would say that Arenado, he would be close to 50-50. I don't think he's got more on the road, but you know what? I still remember sitting on the bench in Tiger Stadium before the final game of the 84 playoffs, and I said to George Brett, I think I said this to you before, haven't I, Keith? George, what could you have hit in this ballpark?
Yeah.
He said, oh, I could have been Darrell Evans.
Yeah.
So what are you talking about? He goes, you adjust to take advantage of your home ballpark. Any hitter that's not a better hitter at home than he is on the road is cheating himself and his team. Because that's where you're playing 81 games, so you better be the best hitter you can be when you're at home.
What home field advantage, in your opinion, and you may be biased, I don't know, what home field advantage is greater? The short porches in Boston, even though they have the Green Monster, it's not very deep, and definitely down right field in New York, or those in Denver? Where's the biggest advantage?
What about left field in Houston? That's
okay. It's a 310 or something like that, isn't it?
I don't think it's that. I think they lied.
Okay.
Juan Pierre hits a ball in that ballpark, slams his bat down, breaks the bat when he slams it down, and trots to first base. I'd never seen him trot before. He didn't know that he just hit his first big league home run.
Okay, yeah, I forgot about Houston. I thought they put 310 down there, but I was just curious.
They might say 3. But you know what? Major League's required to be 321.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I know Yankee Stadium's like three. The old Yankee Stadium was like 317 or something down the lines.
Yeah. Well, the old Kingdom was 312.
Wow.
I remember seeing you something.
I thought it was 321. The contractor told him it was 321, and I was covering the Angels. First game ever, the night before the first game ever there, Davey Garcia's the third base coach for the Angels, and he said, that sign's wrong on your fence. And the groundskeeper said, what are you talking about? He goes, it can't be over 312 feet down that line. It's not 321 feet. I've seen too many ballparks. He was right. It was 312. The contractor lied because he wanted to save money on it, so he pocketed the extra money because both lines were 9 feet shorter. That's a lot of cement that he saved.
Wow. I saw something, going back to the Astros ballpark, I thought I saw you post something on Twitter a couple weeks ago when that had come up about the fact that, you know, it's shorter and they got some sort of allowance because they needed to fit within the ballpark to fit within a certain footprint.
Yeah, they couldn't go into the train station that's behind the old train station, and there's no trains that go there. It's just a historic train station. They couldn't tear it down, so that's all the farther they could go. But they found room to put seats in.
Right.
You know, if they didn't put those seats in, they could have had the right dimensions.
Well, at least they took the hill out of there.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that's the thing is, like, every ballpark. I mean, so you think San Diego and you think that Dodger Stadium in San Francisco is a better ballpark because it's pitcher friendly. Why do their pitchers get credit for pitching well when they pitch at home in those ballparks?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, why is Bumgarner ERA under like 2.10 at AT&T and it's over 4 at Coors Field and he's a 500 pitcher at Coors Field?
Isn't she pitching tonight?
Stop.
Yep.
Good stuff. Tracy, enjoy the game down there. Dave and Jeremiah will love to speak with you next Monday. Thank you.
Oh, I can hardly wait.
Jeremiah, I'm looking forward to it, Jeremiah.
Me as well.
Thanks, Tracy. Take it easy.
Sure. Peace out.
All right, guys.